Welcome to Common Ground Radio, your local progressive call-in radio show for the North State. And it's right here on KCNR, where we examine bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us, using fact-based dialogue and polite dialogue, and starting for change from the progressive side of the street. Today's going to be a really interesting show. We have super guests, Donnie Chamberlain and R.V. Schneidel. R.V., how do you say your last name?
Scheid.
R.V. Scheid.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Scheid.
Yeah. So anyway, get those pencils, notepads out, and be ready for a lot of facts and information. But before we go to R.V. and Donnie, we're going to do our local news update. And now, our Common Ground Radio report for April 17th. Now, you know, along with Doug LaMalfa, the Dollies, and our red, white, and blueprint Trump publicans, might call this socialism. But here's where the common ground lies. 71% of voting Republicans, folks, voting Republicans support the American Job Plan to modernize highways, roads, and streets. In fact, 64% of Republicans support the American Job Plan, the proposal to improve health care for elderly and disabled. 62% of Republicans support the American Job Plan proposal to build and improve our school systems. 65% of all Americans support raising taxes on big corporations and people that earn over $400,000 a year to pay for the American Job Plan. 60% approve of removing lead from our nation's water supplies. 78% approve of the veterans' health care improvement, which is also in the American Jobs Act. But, folks, that's just the American Job Plan that America supports and LaMalfa calls socialism. But more common ground is found in this. You know, Americans view climate change as an immediate threat by a 2-to-1 margin, 60% versus 29%. And how about God and politics? Many on the alt-right, especially patriots, like to say they're ordained by God to push their agenda. But did you know, folks, that the Constitution does not mention the word God? In fact, Pew Research reported last summer that 63% of all Americans say churches and other houses of worship should stay out of politics. Yeah, like the Seven Mountain Mandate. An even higher percentage, 76, say these houses of worship should never endorse political candidates during an election. Do you hear that, Bill and Benny? How about guns? Another common ground area. 64% of all registered voters, according to a Morning Consult political tracking poll released Wednesday, say they support stricter gun control law in the United States of America. That's common ground, folks. 64%. So how about President Biden? How's Joe doing? Well, 2 days ago, Pew and Political Morning Consult reported that Joe Biden's approval rating now stands at 59%. You know, Donnie never even got close. And now, the Doug LaMalfa report. Insurrectionist Doug LaMalfa, who tried his best on Trump's behalf to nullify the vote of the American people on January 6th, claims voter fraud. But he says he can't prove voter fraud because, well, I don't know if men landed on the moon. I wasn't there. Great logic. Of course, Doug's always complaining about big Democrat money. But you can see where he gets his money. All you need to go and this is all one word, is opensecrets.org. www.opensecrets.org. Take a look at where he gets his dough. Now, Doug is one of California's biggest USDA welfare kings. While working to cut health care and food stamps for children, working families, and senior citizens, LaMafa received over $5.5 million of taxpayer bucks to date. And speaking of money, hey, Doug, are you going to return that cool $2,000 you got from your Trump compadre, Matt Gaetz? You know, the alt-right Trump supporter who likes to show porno pictures to other congresspersons on the House floor. You know, the guy who's under federal investigation for sex with underage girls and for drug trafficking and sex trafficking. Doug, you know poor Matt really needs that money back. He's having to pull from his pack in order to pay for his mounting legal bills. And speaking of the alt-right, so-called patriots, remember Donald Trump's violent insurrection 101 days ago on January 06, where five people were killed and more than 140 injured while the insurrectionists stormed the nation's capital, resulting in 125 Capitol police officers assaulted. You know, after 60 court cases and four Supreme Court rulings, Morning Consult poll reveals that 60% of all Americans registered say President Biden won in a free and fair election. But 60% of Republicans believe that, well, they believe in Trump's big lie, that the election was stolen from him due to widespread voter fraud. But Doug, going to the moon, you're not going to find that voter fraud up there. And 70% of American voters say the perpetrators of the violent insurrection on 06 should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And additionally, a recent YouGov poll reports 62% of all Americans are concerned about the domestic threat of terrorism from alt-right extremists, some of who live right here in Shasta County. And while U.S. intelligence agencies report white supremacists and those tied to violent militias are considered the most lethal domestic threat in America today, somebody really does need to tell this to the Greater Idaho Movement, to the state of Jefferson, to Doug and the local militia, and the red, white, and blue printers that continuously threaten us with violence. And with the news report over, and by the way, excuse me for a second, feel free to call in. Because this is a dialogue show, but please use civil language and keep your topic to the point. We got about 3-4 minutes per call. But you're welcome to do that, whether you agree or disagree. And also, it was pointed out to me last week that I don't introduce myself. And so my name is Christian Gardner. Excuse me. I'm a local, activist, if you will, as well as LCSW part-time. And I'm just so happy to be here and happy to have the opportunity to dialogue. With that said, let me introduce Donnie and RV. Donnie, of course, is an independent online journalist that worked for the Record Searchlight way back when, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading, you know, back then, and but has been running a news cafe or Food for Thought.
It goes by both names.
Okay. And you've been doing that, Donnie, what, since?
14 years.
14 mm-hmm. years, wow. And, of course, Donnie is an award-winning journalist and newspaper opinion columnist and feature food writer recognized by AP, the Associated Press, and the California Newspaper Publishers Association, as well as EW Scripps. Did I leave anything out?
No, I was featured on the cover of the LA Times recently. That's probably one of the, and I interviewed Julia Child. So those two things kind of are my top two things.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that LA article, I'm sure that will come up, you know, later on in the program. But that was a great, great, great interview. Yeah, it was fun. And now, RV. RV has been on the front line of journalism here in Northern California for, what, more than 20 years?
It's actually more than 30. I just said 20 to make myself seem younger.
Okay. Well, and it worked.
Yeah. I think I should change it now.
Okay. Well, officially 30. Also of note, besides being one of the North State's premier investigative reporters, it's rumored, RV, that you are an award-winning secret master of the Telecaster.
The emphasis on secret.
Oh. And various motorbikes.
Yeah, I'm a motorcyclist and a guitarist.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So with that, with the intros out of the way, once again, folks, this is your opportunity to call in and ask both RV and Donnie questions. And we're going to just kind of roll with it and see what comes to the top. One of the issues that I'm really personally concerned about is, I guess what, you know, I don't want to be morbid, but the death of journalism or the death of newspapers here in not only the North State, but the nation as well. I mean, where are we going to get our news in the future?
Well, you're describing what I've called, especially up here. I like most of my career, I spent in the Bay Area, Sacramento, or the North Bay. And working for alternative papers, and where, you know, it's like, you know, bigger cities, they have like an alternative, well, the whole business is going under. But in bigger cities, some big cities, they still have an alternative newspaper, which is basically supposed to be a liberal sort of point of view versus the more conservative point of view of the daily paper. But what I describe being up here, because we don't have anything like that. I mean, Chico, maybe the Chico News and Review still exists. I'm not sure. I think COVID might have put them under. I call it a media desert.
Mm-hmm.
And where even, you know, you look at the Record Searchlight and it really, the sort of point of view of that is so narrow. I mean, they don't even really go extreme right or left. It's just very, very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as narrow as the paper is.
and shrinky.
Yeah. And then we were just talking about before, like, one of the biggest talk radio stations in town. It has these national hosts, all of them who are, like, COVID skeptics. And it's the health department, the Shasta County Health and Human Services. That's where they have to run their ads on COVID.
Right.
So you have like this push me pull me thing with the content of the station is all anti COVID, and then here's the poor health department trying to sell this to these people that are being told it's a hoax. It's that's the media desert.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Donnie, but isn't democracy built on having access to information?
Absolutely, and you know there was a time when there'd be a paper of record. And would report everything, all the meetings. I call those board of supervisors meetings and city council meetings and school board meetings. They're brutal to cover. Nobody wants to cover them, but they're kind of like the broccoli on the plate.
Mm.
You know, it's important. It's nutritious. You need to know. And in defense of, you know, my former colleagues at the Record Searchlight, the handful of people who are left there are, you know, trained, you know,
right.
journalists, and they are under the constraints of being in a one newspaper town and doing the best they can. And they can't do, you know, they're supposed to write, you know, right down the middle objectively, which is great. So when they cover a story like a Board of Supervisors meeting, they may not be able to give the kind of color that RV and I can about characters and opinions. We give opinions. And at this point, especially like with the red, white, and blue recall effort, I've sort of given up any attempt of trying to appear objective. I think it's a dangerous thing that's happening in our community. And, you know, so, and I think that it should be illuminated so people know who is leading this charge
mm-hmm.
and what their plans are and how destructive it would be for our community.
And so what you're pointing out is, you know, I was taught a little bit of journalism before I flunked out of journalism, is that just the facts, ma'am, you know, just the names, the date, the time. And that's what newspapers really want. And to do something different is over on the other side of the paper called the opinion page. But just having the facts alone is interesting, and it's important that we have that. But if we don't have the context surrounding those facts, then we're in trouble, you know. And by the way, I remember the Record Searchlight used to be thought of as a liberal newspaper back in the 60s.
Well, it ebbs and flows, just like the politics here in the 60s. It was more Democrats, union, mills, you know.
Well, I think one of the biggest fallacies that the right has been able to perpetuate is this notion that these giant corporate media institutions are liberal. It's like the New York Times does not have overall liberal content, but it's like you've heard it so many times, the liberal New York Times, the liberal Washington Post. These are like giant media corporations that it's just like CNN. It's like, you know, they all got pharmaceutical ads, and there's a certain point of view that they stick up for that this it's beyond politics. It's, you know, it's raw power, money.
It's money, and that's what it is. And unfortunately, the corporate structure pays for our media, except for in cases like a news cafe.
That's why independent journalism is so important. And by independent, I don't mean anybody, as RV said earlier, who has a cell phone and can take pictures and record and call themselves free press. You know, we're trained journalists, and there's a difference.
Yes, absolutely. And it's important to have, investigative journalism. That's the old term, right? Is it still?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, investigative journalism, you know, classically you're thinking about Watergate type reporting, and it costs tons of money. Yeah. You know, it's like you're doing actual real investigations. So it's like I haven't done a true investigative story since I actually worked for a newspaper and had the funding to do it.
And it takes time. It takes so much time.
That's the first thing that comes off the menu when newspapers are downsizing because it's so expensive. You know, there's other things, though, that the media can do that kind of make up for it.
Well, one of the things that the founders of this radio show, we kicked around is we're operating this show on a station that's traditionally known as a conservative radio. KCNR. And what I kept thinking about was we've got to get outside of our lanes. We have to get outside of our echo chambers, our bubbles, and let people know that there is something else going on. It's not just conservative talk. Yet Rush Limbaugh basically changed talk radio as we know it. And probably is responsible for, if we want to use the term, flipping people into conservatism or the Republican Party more than just about anybody, except for the dark money funders, the Mercers and the Cooch brothers and so forth that fund it. So media is so very, very important, and it's why it's listed, in my opinion, as one of the first things you'll read about when you study the Constitution, free journalism. And that doesn't mean yelling fire in the theater. Donnie, could you kind of explain to people what that means?
Well, you have a First Amendment right to speak, but it stops at a point when you can I think the term was is that if you go into a crowded theater and yell fire, and that could cause great harm. So that's not the kind of free speech that is protected. And I think actually here in Shasta County, we're seeing examples of that where they've crossed the line, threats of violence and, as Carlos would say, we know your name, we know where you live, we know your dog's name, RV and I have both had threats that we have both reported to the FBI. And so they've crossed the line, and that's not okay.
No, it is not okay. It just isn't in any way, shape, or form. And yet there is a mindset that thinks they have the constitutional right to threaten people with violence, to get on the media and say, socialism, you got to kill socialists, basically. You have to, this is a do or die death situation. And first time I saw Carlos, on that one particular YouTube video, I was shocked. I was going, hold on. Carlos, is that really the way you're going to win a political movement?
Yes.
Okay, so it looks like we've got a phone call, and so once again, folks, keep it respectable and keep it to the topic, and who's calling?
We have Jesse on the line.
Well, hello, Jesse. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Great.
So I have a question. I keep hearing you guys say the word progressivism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to read the Naked Communists, It says in The Naked Communist that basically communism, you're going to transform it by a different name and run through that order. There's 45 different things you're going to do, and that's what progressivism is based off of. So why do we keep saying progressivism? Why don't we say communism?
Well, first off, Jesse, none of us are naked here in the studio, so
thank God.
Well, we're just going to
be. Listen.
There is a progressive movement, and it was vital back at the turn of the century. It has nothing to do with communism, period. I'm not a communist, believe me. I am a social democrat. But any RV, Donnie, you want to speak to that?
Well, Jesse, first it would be helpful if I knew what your definition of socialism is. Would you call the Department of Health and Human Services, is that socialist?
I actually wouldn't say it is socialism.
So you're not for completely gutting
Karl Marx,
HHS,
or any
right?
Of them?
Jesse, yeah, I've read all that, but that's not relevant here. For instance, RV is pointing out that the red, white, and blue print movement wants to eliminate the Health and Human Services Department because it's socialism.
And I disagree with that. I mean, I don't know where.
Well, you better talk to your leaders.
I don't think. And that's the thing is, I hear you guys group everyone into the same group so much. I mean,
you started it.
The red, white, and blueprint. It's none of it is one group. There's so much with all of our groups combined. There's so much.
So there's so many different opinions that you don't have one.
None of us agree on anything.
Well, that's awesome.
Views on everything.
Jesse.
You keep being a smart aleck if you want.
Hey, Jesse.
But I'm not coming at you like an a-hole. You probably shouldn't either.
Jesse, I understand what you're saying, but here's the problem when you defuse everything out.
It's a diverse group. What I'm saying is it's a diverse group.
I understand that, but there are spokespersons.
One group following Carlos.
And you are one of the spokespersons.
100%.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, by saying, oh, well, that's not necessarily, we're diverse and so forth, you got to take responsibility for who you are and what you say. And that's the flat out. So are you saying
and
that
it's about
you...
It's accountability, but it's diversity. In all these groups, no one agrees on the same exact thing.
Well, no, I would beg to differ, Jesse. Hey, Jesse. Jesse, I would.
I know you'd beg to differ. You painted that picture for.
Hey,
the last year.
Is this a conversation? Jesse, is this a conversation?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Donnie, you've done nothing but slander all of us since day one.
Jesse, you're the one who said that Donnie should be removed from life as she knows it. So let's talk about.
Actually, yeah, let's since you're a journalist, let's get the facts straight.
I have a screen grab of that.
Yeah, so do I. It's a Donnie should be removed of the way we are in Northern California.
No, you did not say
that.
That's
what it said,
Donnie. No, you did not.
It did, Donnie.
We can.
Listen.
I have it as well. Actually, I had the FBI come to my house over it, Donnie.
Well,
yeah,
and
it,
they,
that's what it
awesome.
Is.
When you make threats, that's what happens, bud. Listen, I want you to.
You guys don't want me to make a threat.
No, no, no.
I promise you.
Oh, that sounds like a threat, doesn't it?
I think we're getting someplace. We've established that Health and Human Services is not socialism. I agree.
Good.
Thank you.
Please
tell the rest of the gang that.
Hey, Jesse, I will agree with you on something. How about that? I will agree with you that this is a diverse group. There's the militia, there are Bethel people, there's the state of Jefferson, you know, there are soccer moms. It's all diverse, but I would think that right now the point that most of you agree with is about the recall. Is that correct?
A large majority of it probably agrees on a recall.
Right. You do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe with parts of it.
Okay. So there you go. It is a diverse group. I agree with you there.
Yeah. And there are commonalities, Jesse. Listen, I want you to bring this back to your group at some, because you had a 2-hour show down here basically on your platform. And I would hope that maybe in a month and a half from now, we can actually have a civil conversation together and see if there are such things as common grounds. And before we go, Jesse, hey, are you going to run for anything?
No.
Okay.
No, not right now. I got some other stuff to
do. I got you, man. Well, listen, Jesse.
I appreciate you, and this is the thing. You've always came out. You've said things, but you've never came out and just, like, slandered anyone. So that I appreciate.
Well,
I mean, we can all view take anything out of any context we want. But, I mean, to be honest, everyone's been peaceful. I know guys that are 10 times badder than me. If they want to do something, they could do something, and it would be catastrophic.
Well, do us a favor.
It's all been...
That's called a veiled threat.
That's right.
Yeah, and do us a favor, Jesse.
Oh, God.
Jesse.
Well, why say that, Jesse? Why even mention that?
Because I'm letting you guys know this group has been peaceful. No one's caused any harm.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying.
Listen, hey Jesse, can we agree to have a conversation somewhere down in the future?
I would love to have a conversation.
All right, man. Hey, listen,
I would gladly sit down with you and have a conversation.
We're gonna go ahead and roll over to another quick phone call. And listen,
perfect.
Thank you for calling in.
And we have Randy on the line.
Oh, hello, Randy. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
You know this. The Civil War theme and the notion that there needs to be violence to take over the government because the government is so oppressive, that thing's been going on for quite some time now, and it's based on complete nonsense as far as I'm concerned. But now it's right here at our door, because you know here's the threats are that the courthouse is going to be taken over by thousands of armed militia. And Jesse, Carlos, whether he's the main leader or not, he is on Alex Jones calling for, he said, blood has to be in the street,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing is about violence and threat and intimidation. It's like a teenager that is threatened to burn down the house because he doesn't get his own way. So, anyway,
that's my perspective. Donnie, RV?
Yeah, Randy, there's an interesting book that came out 3 or 4 years ago called, of course, I'm going to forget it. It's by Martin Burris. It's called The Revolt of the Public and the Crisis of Authority. And we were talking a little bit about this earlier. It was that everybody now that has a cell phone has become a journalist, where Donnie and I have actually, you know, had college training for this. And I think both of us have 4-year journalism
mm-hmm.
degrees. And somebody with a phone can pick up and say, oh, they're, you know, just as experienced as me. And so that's the crisis of authority part of the title of that book. It's like, and then you have the revolt of the public on display here with the red, white, and blueprint movement, where, you know, they are, violence underlines everything. In fact, as we just heard talking to one of them, they don't have a platform. All they have is violence underlying whatever they want. And that is the revolt of the public. And you'll notice, it's like, I mean, we'll be waiting. I won't be surprised if They don't have any policy positions. They just want to burn it down.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is that the more outspoken and outlandish the threats overt and veiled are, the more silent the majority becomes because they're afraid. I mean, we know people who tell us all the time, oh, you're so brave. They won't even use their real names. I've had people who said, please take up my comment where I said good job because I don't want someone to come after me. So there's a total imbalance between the loud minority who have made threats and then the quieter majority. And I kind of think, you know, if a million people whisper, it will make a loud sound. And that's what I'm counting on here in Shasta County.
Well, I, absolutely.
Not a million, but, you know, however our population. 92,000, 160,000 for the county.
Now, you know what? Let's go and extrapolate it out. Millions throughout the nation. Because this common nexus that I call alt-right conservatism, veiled threats, acceptance of tyranny, acceptance of overthrow of our government, it seems to me like it's growing.
Well, it is, and it starts local, doesn't it? I mean, so this is why the red, white, and blueprint's goal of recalling three supervisors who are all Republicans, who are all gun owners, two are former police officers, one is a former police chief, one owns a ranch, they own rifles. These are not snowflakes. These are not liberal snowflakes. So I look at it like, so you have Patrick Jones, for example, and if you got a majority of the board that was comprised of people like Patrick Jones, I think it could be catastrophic. I look at it like pirates taking over a ship. You have one pirate who gets on, and they put a rope down and pull in the others, and I feel like we have to stop it.
Yeah, and they provide a permission structure for this nonsense. It just kind of goes. So I think we're coming up on a break here, and we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back and keep those phone calls coming. We do appreciate diversity, and we do appreciate different comments and different ideas and thoughts. So go ahead, call them in. This is your opportunity right here on Common Ground Radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
And hey, we're back. Common Ground Radio every Saturday morning, usually from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Today we have a two-hour slot. We have two very special guests with us, and it doesn't happen all that often, folks. Take advantage of the situation. Call up Donnie and RV and let them know what you think, if you disagree or if you agree, or what are your concerns. I mean, really. Are you concerned about what's happening? Do you think it's positive? Do you think it's negative? You know, we need to hear from you, and that's the opportunity that you get here on this talk radio show. And you know, I want to go back to some of the things that Jesse was talking about, and Donnie and RV as well, is that there is a common thread, folks. We can't lie. Don't hide it. You know, if you support it, be proud of it. There is a common thread that seems to flow and flow steadfastly with the red, white, and blue movement. And, you know, you can't deny it. Because there are, when you say something on social media, you're saying it, it's cement. In fact, you can try and delete it. But once it's out there, it's out there. You know, Carlos, once you say that when you were talking about, and I'm assuming Carlos is listening, when you were talking about the 06 insurrection to overthrow the vote of the American people and possibly take over the government, you said, you know, I think they should have burned the bleep down. Listen, man. You know, be open and honest. You're not fooling anybody. You're not shape-shifting. You can't be all things to everybody. So that common ground, by the way, seems to be supported by people like Doug LaMaffa. You know, and Doug, of course, was one of those insurrectionists on 06 who worked on Donald Trump's behalf to take away the vote of the American people. And that is getting close to tyranny. It's getting close to fascism. You know, folks, you got to call it what it is. Now, I happen to believe in Shasta County. This is, as Donnie sometimes say, listen, we've got a lot of great stuff here. It does get a little hot, and we do have fires, but we have a lot of good stuff here in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important. But, Donnie, before we elaborate on that, can we grab a phone call real quick?
Sure.
All right. So who do we got, Jerry?
We have Terry on the line.
Hello, Terry. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing this morning?
Not bad.
Hi, Terry.
Good.
Hello.
Good. Quick question. Do you guys support the right of the people to recall their supervisors. Do you support that?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And then a couple of other quick facts I wanted to bring forth, because I know this show is supposed to be factual. Donnie, Linda, and Mark Kent are brother and sister, not husband and wife.
What?
So. Yeah, they're brother and sister. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh.
And the other thing
Let me finish.
We got to figure out what
you're trying to figure out where that's coming from.
Where that's coming from, because apparently there's something written that Mark and Linda Kent were hosts and they were married.
No, I never said that.
No, I didn't say you said it. I said it was in the news. I'm just clarifying some
all
facts
right.
here.
Not my news.
Folks, that's all. Okay. And then, if you don't interrupt me, I can probably go a little slower.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, well, that's fine. You can clarify when I'm done. How's that?
Sure.
Okay, good. Okay, so the second thing is that Red Smith, which you did say, is part of Sovereign Mines. He hasn't been for about 3 years. The third thing is that my wife did not organize the Sprouts situation. She didn't organize it. She helped, but she didn't organize it. And the other thing is it was said that my wife and I went to Washington, D.C., which we didn't. Expensive trip. Couldn't afford it. Couldn't go. And we didn't go to Washington, D.C. with those folks and represent Jefferson there. We did not do that.
Terry,
there's a lot of misnomers about a lot of people.
Terry, are you seeing anybody here in this? Terry, are you seeing anybody in the studio said that? Just checking. Because I didn't. Donnie didn't.
Uh-uh.
I don't know. RV?
No, I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah, about Sprouts, Donnie did.
I don't think so.
And about Red Smith, Donnie did. Yes, she did.
I think I got the part about Smith off the website, so perhaps
good
that
girl.
Is...
Okay, well, that's good. I'm
Please don't call
that.
Me a girl, Terry. That's pretty offensive.
Oh, good lady. Good lady. Good ma'am.
How about good citizen?
Ma'am, will ma'am work?
How about good citizen?
How about Donnie? Good Donnie. Thank you.
How about
Terry?
Did that work?
Condensation.
You know, we're not going to stand for misogynist sexism here.
I'm just trying to
let us educate you.
Something here. That's all. Just trying to be civil. Just bringing some things up. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
and,
it.
Can I ask you a question, sir?
Pardon me?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
We agreed that we support our right to recall the supervisors. What have any of these supervisors done that you believe qualifies them to be recalled?
Well, besides breaking the Brown Act, and besides breaking their oath to the Constitution, and besides the fact that Joe Comente at one particular point in time told people that they could only speak at the supervisors' meeting during public comment, which we all know, it does specifically state that you can speak to an agendized item, yet he took that away and then rescinded his own vote a week later, keeping people outside, including moms that have 3 and 4 young children, in the heat outside, where they could have been standing in the back, even if they had to social distance, but stand inside while the supervisors were in there without masks, and having these folks stand out there in 100 degrees.
Well, listen, Terry. Terry.
One last thing.
Yeah.
They also broke their oath of office.
Terry, so part of that might be objective and part of it is subjective. Listen, are you part of the red, white, and blue movement?
You mean as far as being one of the people?
A political leader.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
A political leader.
Thank you for mentioning that. The clarification of red, white, and blue.
No, sir.
I want to clarify something. The clarification of red, white, and blueprint is that they are doing a documentary on Open Shasta. There are two different things. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, you're saying there's two different movements?
I understand what you're saying.
I
get it.
Yeah, am I part of the red, white, and blueprint? You mean as far as the organization?
Right.
What I am is someone who supports what they're doing. I think that the voice that they have is fair. I think everybody's voice should be heard, as you guys probably do. So I think that's a fair assessment. I think those people are doing a good job.
So, sir, do you support them economically, or are you planning on running for office?
I don't support them economically as far as being a funder in an economic way. That way, no, I don't.
Terry,
do I support the fact that if they needed some help, that I would help them?
Gotcha.
Sure, I'd help them.
Hey, Terry, are you just out at one last question for me?
Sure.
Are you part of the militia?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No,
just
what I do. I do support the militia.
Okay.
I'm not a part of a lot of things.
Okay.
And the reason is...
State of Jefferson.
Because, pardon me?
State of Jefferson.
Well, the state of Jefferson, we don't really have any titles, Donnie, but I've been called a spokesman. I do speak for them. I do believe that we need better apportionment. I think that everybody agrees, including Leonard Modi, agreed that we need more representation. We don't have adequate representation in the state. So,
yeah. Aren't you the chief of merchandise for SOJ?
Pardon me?
Aren't you the chief of merchandise for SOJ?
Actually, there is no license on SOJ. Anybody can make it. I have.
I just saw this on your website. I saw it on the SOJ website.
If you can let me answer the question, I'd appreciate it. Because it seems to me like you ask me something, I go to answer it, and then you're the one who's doing the...
Well, you're not answering.
Well, I'm trying to answer your question.
Terry. We need to run, man. You've been on the air here for 5 minutes, and I really, really do appreciate you calling in, honestly. And I look forward to some dialogue in the future. Hey, man, you have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, sir.
Bye, Terry.
So anything before we go to a phone call on Terry?
Well, yeah, I just... looked him up recently on the SOJ website just to get his proper title, and he's listed something of merchandise.
Oh, okay.
I called him the swag swag officer or whatever.
So, you know, it's interesting. Where does the money go? Who keeps track of that?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, a lot of the red, white, and blueprint, you'll see, I have signed up for their email notifications. And, you know, there'll be headlines like, they're lying to you, and every one of them makes a pitch for money. Mm-hmm. Well, so they probably have to pay Courtney Kreider's salary, and they have to probably pay somebody to do the docuseries, but where is all the money going?
Yeah, that docuseries is, you know.
I'm glad the musicians got paid. I mean, I hope they did.
Boy, that's a change, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and so listen, I mean, that's an interesting question, because when you set up a political org, political org to recall, I think you have to file with, you know, the FCC and other organizations. And I mean to call Kathy Darling down at the county and find out what's going on with that.
Yeah, she's a wealth of information. Well, one thing I will say, Terry is correct about the red, white, and blueprint is basically about the docuseries that is documenting their attempts to recall the supervisors and do other things. So I think they're so convinced that this is going to be a wildly successful endeavor that they'll want to document it, and it will be patterned across the country, and people will replicate it.
Yeah, and in fact, I think it is sort of the same structure, if not labeled, has been, you know, set up in different areas of the country. But I don't quote me on that. So listen, we're going to go to Jared. Well, who do we got up next?
We have Rock on the line.
Rock. Hey, Rock, are you there?
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
Good morning, Donnie.
Good morning.
I really appreciate your program, Christian. It really needs to come out on the airwaves. And I appreciate Carl for allowing the program. It's kind of ironic. He's got Pete Peters on and just Donnie Arms calling to join the revolution, come down and buy your pistol. And that is kind of bizarre here in Shasta County right now.
Yeah, well, hey, I appreciate your appreciation. You know, Rock, do you have any comments in regards to what we're talking about here today?
I do. Mainly, I just want to say I like the way you are managing to defuse the hotheads that call in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is the first morning I've listened to your program, but I like it, and I'm going to continue following it. And,
you know, I really appreciate that. We need to have feedback, and thank you, Rock. I really appreciate it, man. And tell your friends, you know, we need you.
Yeah, and one other quick thing, you know, I would strongly suggest that Commander Woody and Carlos and these guys find another way to vent their anger and threats, and try to make a more peaceful community here in Shasta County.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, is that a common ground thing right there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want a peaceful community?
That's right. Yeah, where we can all, you know, exist without fear, without hearing nonsense about, we're going to have to get our guns out, and it's going to be a bloody revolution. But, you know, if you guys keep going the way you're going, well, that's the way it's going to be. And listen, come on. This isn't Deadwood. Everybody's seen the TV series.
Yes.
Come on. You know, this is, you know, North State, and we are kind of conservative up here. There's no doubt about that. But, folks, we got to get reality-based, you know, just right off the bat. So I think we have another caller on the line. And once again, rules, common decency, civil dialogue. Focus in on, you know, one or two points. We only got about 4 minutes a phone call, five maybe at the most. And so, Jared, who's up next?
We have Carlos Zapata on the line.
Well, hey, Carlos, how you doing, man?
Great, great. How are you guys?
Hi, Carlos. Good.
Excellent. Well, what's up?
Well, you know, I just kind of find it interesting that Donnie has some infatuation with me and our group, and I think it's an interesting thing that she's never reached out to me to interview me. So I kind of wanted to propose that we do an interview, you know. And it's weird that the one person she writes about the most over and over and over again and tells lies about, you know, likes to pick on, calls me a bully, but she's a real bully, you know, embarrasses me, you know, embarrasses my family. And then she wants to go and cry to the cops because I'm flooding her. Listen, you know, karma's a motherfucker, you know.
Oh,
and
whoops. So, Carlos.
I would love to speak to that.
Yeah.
Good morning, Carlos.
So I think we lost Carlos because
he used the F word.
You can't. You know what? Whether or not we agree, right now the law is you can't use the F word. Call
FCC
Carlos.
Takes exception.
That's
that.
Right. And
so did we lose him as a on the line?
I think we did. But
well, I would love to speak to that though.
Yeah.
Carlos has asked many times for me to interview him, and he refers to me being infatuated with him. I have the hots for him. You know, I'm attracted to him. I'm obsessed with him. And he does make, I do write about him a lot because he is the leader of this red, white, and blueprint movement, which I think is dangerous. But the thing with Carlos is he does so many videos of himself. He writes so much. He's on so many podcasts. He's on so many interviews. I have so much information about him already from his own mouth. So the thing is if I were to interview Carlos, then he would tell me just what he wanted me to know during that interview. And this way, I have so if I run out of material, maybe I would say, okay, Carlos, I don't have anything else on you or about you, and I have some questions. You know, one question I have is he is at the Board of Supervisors meeting way back in August of last year. He talked about the six Marines who had committed suicide since the beginning of COVID. And then I think the number is down to three now. And he said he won't say their names. But things like that, it's a pretty powerful statement. And I think you could even honor those people's memory by saying who they are. But sometimes I do doubt what he says, I confess. And he contradicts himself, and he does seem to kind of flip. I call it the good Carlos and the other Carlos. He'll say, go home and hug your kids, let's not be violent. And then he'll talk about blood in the streets and threatening and veiled threats and not veiled threats. So that's why I don't have the need to interview Carlos. He has so much information that he's provided by himself that I don't need to.
All right. So real quick, RV, any comments before we go on break?
No, not really. I think Donnie said her piece fairly well. I've interviewed Carlos, and at some point down the road, I might interview him some more. It's like we're going to be working on stories about the recall. You know, I got off to a bad start with him by making a joke on Facebook, and he threatened me, and I called the FBI. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have made that joke, and that's the trouble of being a journalist sometimes and just being a private person on Facebook. I hope to leave the lines of communication open with him as this recall thing unfolds.
Yeah. You know, and something tells me Carlos will take you up on that.
Oh, he will.
Well, and I will say that I've told RV, RV can write about and interview who he wants, and I will publish it on a news cafe. I just don't happen to have the desire to interview Carlos Zapata. And, you know, another thing is, as the owner of this website, as the publisher, I take exception when he says, hey, interview me and I'll enlighten your 12 moron readers or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. So don't slam my readers, our readers. you can't, if he thinks that's ingratiating himself to me by slamming and by ridiculing and demeaning, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't. Generally, it doesn't work
anymore.
Not
for me. Not for me.
Well, listen, this has been a great hour. Stay tuned for the next hour because we're probably going to focus on this red, white, and blueprint movement thing and keep those calls coming. And we appreciate you out there. And we hope you appreciate us.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.